which one might take the attitude that for my health I can do anything, and come to be mekel and malachos for a little different ways of explaining that, but that's the basic concern. And therefore, we're not necessarily mekel in a situation where there's no concern of tochen, for the most part, although we'll discuss a little bit more today if that's 100% the case. And one of the points we ended off with is that Eglei Tal, making the point, addressing a question we had from the very beginning, that one could have thought that even if there was a concern of tochen, even if we really thought you were definitely going to be shofek samamonim, it should be mutter anyway. It's tochen la'alter. So apparently that's not the case, clearly not the case, but why isn't it so obvious? And we discussed the possibility that maybe the whole heter of tochen la'alter, which not all Rishonim agree with in Achanami, but you can't say that, well, that's the answer here, because clearly more Rishonim agree that tochen la'alter is mutter, but at the same time don't dismiss the whole gezeirah of refuah. So you can't say that it's all only a leave of those Rishonim who think tochen la'alter is awesome. So we discussed yesterday that maybe you could say that it's, the heter is not really stam la'alter, the heter is based on derech achila, and that this isn't considered derech achila. That could be. But it may be that the svar of derech achila by tochen, that the Rashba, the Ramah, and others in between were advocating, that maybe it does have some impact on the halakha l'maisa here. Because one of the major principles in terms of the practical halakha of refuah is that anything that is meichel briyim is mutter. So if you're going to eat something which is normal food, but it happens to be that you like it for the purposes of feeling better, so you want to take chicken soup is probably the best example because it enhances your well-being.
And for me, on Shabbos.
It happens to everybody, every Shabbos. I think it's a very common situation.
Right,
so...
I had a cold on Shabbos. I was somewhere. I had like 3 dumplings of chicken soup.
In my family, we have a misora that if you have a headache, ice cream helps. And I remember once he asked Shaftor Shaila about this because he has in his sefer that if you have a mechush, during the week, it's a bas b'chalav issue, that you could have milchiks an hour after fleishiks. So I wasn't sure what a good example this was, but I thought this was an example because this is what we have of ice. So I remember I asked him this application, and he was very surprised at the whole hanach. I never heard of such a thing. Now, I realize many people never heard of such a thing, but in my family, there is such a misora that ice cream helps for headaches. So separate from the fleishik idea, so if, let's say, one is not fleishik at the time on Shabbos, if that comes up at all, and he wants to have, there's such a misora, and he wants to have ice cream for a headache, or he wants to have chicken soup, the more commonly accepted scenario, for whatever else is going on, so then that's mutter. It doesn't matter that he also has intent that he should feel better. That's derech briyim, and that's not a part of his gezeirah, which is consistent with a couple of things. You know, it's consistent with the fact that we saw yesterday that the gezeirah was strongly focused on appearances. That how it looks makes a big difference. But also, Rav Ribiat in his Hebrew Ha'aris and his Migdal David, so he suggests as well that maybe this is an extension of the derech achila idea, that if we're really concerned about tochen, so tochen anyway is mutter derech achila, so how concerned do we have to be that if the refuah you're going to do is going to be through a normal eating, so even if you were going to decide to grind up this food that you're eating as your refuah, it would be mutter anyway. So therefore, as much as we don't seem to import the heter la'alter of tochen into the sugya of refuah, maybe it does have some relevance. Maybe it does impact, at least for that purpose, to be part of the explanation of why meichel briyim is considered to be mutter. Hi.
Even if it's not meichel briyim, or even for non-edible tochen objects, we didn't really say that their achila has to be really eating, so that it can be used.
Right, so that would get into a couple of complications. First of all, we weren't 100% sure if that was the only way to explain the heter of bar la'alter. So it's going to get us a little bit far afield, but in the sugya of Borer, you're correct that we saw two different hanachos of what the heter of la'alter is about. But derech achila is the one that allows us to extend it to tochen, because the other one was saying that it's not derech Borer. So derech achila is what is the svarah that extends it to tochein. Now your point was, but in the context of borer, so we saw that derech achila could also mean something broader than that. That's true, but the problem is that it was itself a little bit shaky at the time, if you recall, because the whole extension of borer beyond ochel to begin with posed certain challenges to our understanding of the sugya. And one of them was, especially this whole derech achila idea. So to say that achila doesn't mean achila, but it means use, which we did discuss as a possibility, we found that a little bit, one of the reasons why we were uncomfortable extending beyond ochel, because it does open up a little bit of a shakier area that we're not 100% sure how to apply. So if there is such an idea, so I assume what you're saying here is that, so even it should just be food, we should apply derech achila to other things as well. So you could be right, but it still involves a lot of building chidushim, malgabi chidushim, which I don't know how much of a marker we have for. But I think his point here simply is that when it comes to tochen, that if it's true that tochen food for purposes of achila is going to be mutter, so then that's another additional reason not to be gozer when you're dealing with regular food. Because even if you're actually going to do the step of tochen, it's not going to be necessarily a problem. Okay. Another yisod that we saw, lehateira, I should also mention just in terms of the general introductory point to the halacha maisa refuah, that the one of the guiding principles really should be in this sugya that safek drabanan lekula. And we say this for three reasons. One is because it's a din drabanan, so safek drabanan lekula. But also because we also threw in yesterday that Rav Ram Chaim Noah's position that maybe the whole takana doesn't apply today, and that even he was not really ready to say that absolutely, to give the ochre the whole takana of refuah, but he thought that that could be brought in a tziruf for other issues. So that seems to be somewhat accepted. We mentioned yesterday that if I were to ask you if his position was accepted, so you may get the response, well, it's accepted, but tziruf other heterim, those other factors, then the paskin like him as a sniff lahaka. But the point is, that's actually exactly what he says. He himself said, I'm not ready to say this 100%, but it's something that you should factor in with other things. So my impression is that that is an accepted approach to consider this this assertion or this suggestion of Rav Chaim Noah as something that's a part of the equation. We're not ready to dispense with the whole Gezeirah of Refuah, but we do factor it in when there are other issues that are also pointing towards Kula. So first you have the general subject of Banu Lekula. You have the possibility that this whole Gezeirah itself is perhaps a little bit weaker than a general Gezeirah for this reason. And third, most importantly, is that this impacts on issues of Pikuach Nefesh and serious related issues. So it's very possible for a person who wants to be overly machmir to make the wrong call on what has to be done. So since we have to say that Safek Nefashos, Lahakil Lahachmir, depending on how you want to phrase it, but Reb Chaim Brisker's famous line where he says, I'm not Nekel on Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Yom Kippur, whatever it was, but I'm Machmir on Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh. So since this is an area where you could end up paying a big price if you make the wrong call, so I think that also has to be factored into how you're analyzing the shilas here. If you're not sure whether the issue is possibly more serious than you might be assessing it, so then, especially if you don't have access to expert medical advice, which may often be the case, so then you should assume l'chumra on the pikuach nefesh point, and therefore l'kula on the yisur refuah point. So I think that's just three broad principles why the attitude will overall be something to rabbanan l'kula in an enhanced form in terms of applying issues of refuah in general. Okay, so that being said, to move on to a few other points. So another approach that, another svara that is found l'hakel in the poskim, based on a Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like this, is that if you want to put on a bandage, let's say, and assuming there are no other malachos involved, the Gemara talks about cases where there is a malach involved because there are various substances that are put into the bandage that may involve the mareach and the like, but assuming that the no-malacha is involved in putting on a bandage, so then there is also presumably no issur refuah, because the issur refuah doesn't address a situation where you're just trying to keep something in check. You're trying to protect the situation the way it is. You don't want it to get worse. So then that is permitted within the gzeirah of refuah. And that has been extended, we mentioned the first time, it's not 100% obvious that this should be the case, but it's been extended also to, let's say, if you want to put ice on something so it shouldn't get worse, it shouldn't swell, and the like, that's also considered by contemporary poskim to be protective rather than healing, and therefore also not subject to an iser refuah, something that's discussed in Rav Harfinus's Chulas, if you want to take a look.
Hi, so band-aids would be okay.
So band-aids, yeah, presumably band-aids for the purposes of protecting the wound and not having it get worse because of its exposure is not considered to be, per se, an active refuah.
Is there a problem with, like, opening the package?
So probably not. We haven't got up to Korea yet, but definitely assume for now, derech hashtasa, you know, that you're going to destroy the package. So that's not going to be a problem that's going to stop you from putting on a bandage. Assume for now. Yes, sir?
They extend also to pills?
So
to prevent such, like, or you know, somebody, I was at a Shabbos table where somebody had the soup and he says, are there peas in the soup? And it turns out he's like, I'm allergic to peas. Mm-hmm. Or he had a few spoonfuls. So he knows he's going to get an allergic reaction in about a half hour. So, assuming that's not a...
Yes, so actually I want to get into vitamins in a second, which is similar, a little bit different, but yes, that's how it's assumed. Just because you answer that question, I'll say 2 points. But first of all, food allergies can end up being very serious, so that's also an area where you may have, I don't know, maybe he had some reason to know that it was just going to be a mephish, whatever this allergic reaction was, but a lot of the food allergies are potentially more threatening than that, so I think that would already put it in a more serious category. But in terms of a preventative situation, so we'll talk in a second about vitamins, which is a complicated question, but... For example, let's give an example of what Ribiak gives. So he talks a couple of times about taking Tums. So he assumes there, the halacha, that if you already have heartburn and you're feeling uncomfortable, that it's a problem to take Tums. But if you know that you're likely to get it, but you haven't got it yet, so you just had the food that may provoke it, which is probably more comparable to what you're talking about, so then that's a preventative and that he does allow. So I think that's probably a more direct parallel to what you're talking about, assuming that you're not talking about something more serious, which is also a possibility.
Something like heartburn, where it's just a negligence.
So that's an example, at least, where Ribiak gives straight out, that he says that to take Tums in anticipation of a heartburn is preventative and is much.
Why the further the better?
Because it doesn't have the bahul factor, and that's A. The bahul factor that we talked about yesterday, that the Rishonim, it's not really the Gemara, but the Rishonim invoke that there is a concern that because you're sick and you're worried, so you'll get, not sick, that's not the right word, you are feeling bad and you're worried, so you will panic and you'll do something that you shouldn't do, which really fits in, now that we're bringing it up, it fits in also to the whole theory that we're saying yesterday, that the nature of this gezeira is that we're worried that people will get out of control because or they'll come to me more ahead during Hilchos Shabbos because of their general attitude that anything should be mutter for my health. So this is exacerbated if there is a factor of bohol, if they're panicking at the time. So there are those poskim who invoke that if the bohol factor is low or non-existent, so then that should be an extra sniff lahakel. So here, if you don't currently have the situation, so the assumption is you will be a little bit less panicked, but also the general understanding is it doesn't necessarily fit into the gzeira, doesn't necessarily address what the gzeira addresses. So there is also an extension to this, it's also assumed, it's also based on the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch passing of this, that if you're taking out a splinter, that's also considered to be the prevention of something external rather than healing the body internally, and that's also not considered to be within this gezeira. Sorry? So presumably, yeah, because the question is what does it mean causing you to bleed? So it's already causing you to bleed, and it's already blood's already there. You're not going to extract blood from taking out the splinter. If it's making you bleed, it's already making you bleed and the blood's being held in. And so the Gemara has the expression in other contexts, you know, dam mifkad pocket, the dam is already there under the skin waiting to come out, so it's not clear that that's really... No, but your blood is in a vein and you're extracting it, where here it's already kind of bled inside and you're just letting it come out. So we think it would be in that category, but even if not, you know, it would be kind of a, probably a dover chain of scabbing that's not necessarily a secretion because your interest is not in causing the blood, and I don't think it's definite that taking out a splinter causes things to bleed. I don't think that's the general reality that taking out thorns or splinters provokes bleeding. So it's neither intentional nor psychratia. So with all those factors, I don't think there's a need to necessarily wrap around that. Okay, so the vitamin issue is controversial big time. And we mentioned yesterday that it was important in terms of lumdus, at least in Rav Schechter's approach, because Rav Schechter asserted that the fact that the poskim have asserted vitamins shows you that this addresses even situations where, a little bit differently than we said a few minutes ago about Bahul, even a situation where a person is not at odds with Onik Shabbos right now, and therefore the Gezerah should not be perceived as uprooting Onik Shabbos, because it's not only for people who are miserable, it's also for people who are taking vitamins even though they're not right now miserable. So it's a little bit of a controversial issue. It's a little bit of a difficult subject, the question of vitamins, because really vitamins should be mutter. Vitamins, it would seem like, should be, again, there's no bahul factor. Maybe you could call it Michael Briam on some level, although we'll see that's not been an accepted approach. It's hard to assume that vitamins should be included within the Gzeira of Rafua. It's all really based on the Magen Avraham. That the Magen Avraham comments in the Torah, that the Torah says, oh, so this whole takana doesn't apply to a bari. A bari, he can eat and drink for his hunger and for his thirst. He can do whatever he wants. That's okay. So the Magen Avraham interprets on that, that yes, he can eat and drink normally, but something that he wants to do in order to strengthen himself, taking some kind of a pill, that would not be included. That would also be forbidden under the Gzeira of Refuah. So not everyone accepted, certainly the Svara. The Svara was challenged, although many of those who challenged the Svara were not ready to challenge the conclusion Halacha Lamaisa. But there are those who assume, some of them even assume it within the Magen Avraham, that he doesn't necessarily mean that a vitamin which is taken all the time by people when they don't feel any physical difference before or after it is necessarily included. That some think what the Magen Avraham means is that it's like Popeye spinach, that you're healthy beforehand but you become super strong immediately afterwards. You feel an immediate uplift in your condition. So maybe that's what he's talking about. Or others say that maybe it's the kind of vitamin where you take a feel schwach now and it makes you feel better at the moment. But a normal vitamin which doesn't have an immediate effect that you perceive at all, it's just part of what you would take as part of your normal routine. So that there are those who question whether or not either the Magen Avraham is correct or whether the Magen Avraham meant that. So there is some controversy about the whole vitamins question. It means there's an extra tzad, for example, to allow it for children if you feel it's important for them. If the doctor tells you the children needs it, so then that becomes something of a more serious nature anyway. If children have a status like a chola and you have to follow what the doctor says. But even if it's not with a hara of the doctor, but that's also thrown in as an extra tzad, that it's not 100% clear that vitamins really are an issue. It's somewhat of a controversial discussion. Can John close up first?
What about today, where I think it's very, very common actually, the mental health medications, but like antidepressants and stuff like that?
So that's a very serious issue. You know, that potential succumbs to fushes. You know, that's, I think you find that for the depression is a little bit subjective to figure out exactly what level we're talking about, but once you have a doctor prescribing it, so it's possibly to go off nefesh, possibly a situation where malachas could be permitted. Forget about before. So my guess would be that you would find that could be considered a very strong sign to allow it or to require it. Yeah, I'm definitely aware of stalking that have allowed laws to be violated in order to address depression. So I'd be very surprised if anyone would ask a refuah for that purpose. I think Shlomo was up first.
It's not necessarily something to fuss with, you just feel better.
So that's essentially where this whole gezeira kicks in, and the question is, we have to figure out what exactly means feel better. You know, so what exactly? It's going to get a little bit subjective. So that takes a little bit more of a evaluative component, and you have to figure out some of the other considerations that we're talking about, where they factor in. So in general, again, this vitamin point is really somewhat talib machlokas. I think maybe it was Dani.
Yeah, so even if we're assuming that regular vitamins are machlokas, because maybe you don't see the results till later, maybe you do, but there's manazet, isn't it? Like pretty standard. Does most people take vitamins or it'd be considered? No, I'd say always taking vitamins must be sick, unless you're only taking vitamin C. Someone takes a regular multivitamin, which probably doesn't work anyway.
Yeah, I think there is such a scar. Again, you know, it's probably questionable whether anyone would agree with that. I want to emphasize that a lot of those who challenge the Magen Avraham Svara are still hesitant to challenge Malach HaLamaisa because they feel there is a certain Masora on this point. But I think there is such a Svara to be had. There are those who wanted to say that it's considered to be Meichel Brim because this is something people take regularly in a healthy state. There are those who challenge that, and they said, no, it's not Meichel Brim because not everyone takes them. So that, I think, is a little bit questionable because not everybody takes them because not everybody believes in them. Not everybody is convinced it's important to take, but it's not because there's a difference in the physical condition. The average person who takes vitamins is presumably not in a different state of health than the average person who doesn't. It's just one is convinced it's a good idea and one isn't convinced it's a good idea. So I don't know if the variability that we find in terms of who takes vitamins and who doesn't is reflective of different states of health. It makes it more one of them more aburi and the other one less. I think it's more indicative just of their belief in the effectiveness or need for the vitamin. So I think there is a case one could make for it being more of a Michael Brian type of thing. But as we see, it's subject to machlokas. So if Harfernes, for example, doesn't accept that svar of it being a Michael Brian, but I hear where one would be coming from if one wanted to make the case that there is what to say. And again, we find here a couple of svaras hakel also that can sometimes be brought in as it's here.
Do we bring in enough between a pill versus liquid medicine?
Probably not, for the most part. We found that there is, well, just while you're asking, it's not really directly the question asked, but it's a good opportunity to stick it in, that for the most part we find that the Xeira of Rafua applies clearly from the Gemara, even in situations where you're not using pills. And so even if it's not a tochin possibility, and that the pills are not involved, so it's clear from the Gemara that the Issur Rafua still applies. And that's the part we got into yesterday about how it's a little bit surprising because it seems to be a Xeira of Xeira kind of situation, but nonetheless it does apply. However, that being said, there is a whole svara which is used to explain some Gemaras and the like, that if you have a situation which is never addressed with pills, so then maybe the Issur Rafua doesn't apply to that type of situation. Sorry? That might be such an example, yeah. So you have to figure out a little bit what is such an example. When we spoke about it the first time around, there were those who questioned certain examples, whether they were good examples or not. So I'm not going to try to posit what's in that category or not, but there is such a position that if it's not just that you're happening not to use pills now, but it's something which is not addressed with pills at all, so then there are those who feel, and there's Gemaras that sound like this, because there are a lot of Gemaras you have to make sense in order to figure out how this really works. So there are Gemaras that sound like that there are situations which are not subject to this Gezeira. So in other words, there are Gemaras which make it clear that the Gezeira applies even when you're not using pills. On the other hand, there are Gemaras that make it sound like the Gezeira is not applicable. So what's the difference between the two? So that's a possible difference, that if it's a situation that it's not only you're not using pills, but you never use pills, so then that makes a difference. Yes, sir?
You let a katan take vitamins because he's presumed to be a Choloshim Bosakana, or because he's not Barbazuya?
Well, it's because of the Choloshim Bosakana status, but that's, you're saying that it's serious other things, in a situation, even when the doctor doesn't tell you who needs them. If the doctor tells you who needs them, so that already puts it into a higher level of seriousness. But if a mother decides without the doctor's shock that it's important, so then, again, there are other studies to be made as well. Hi.
So we allow ice on the type that isn't normally treated with pills?
Well, that's one reason. I didn't want to necessarily invoke it as an example because there's some debate about what qualifies as an example and what doesn't. But there also, it was invoked as an example of a situation where it's more preventative in nature. That you don't want the wound to get bigger. You don't want it to swell further. So you're addressing the future more than you're addressing the present, which is a really more expansive example than putting a bandage in, which is not the most obvious extension of that yeso, but it is one that folks can have accepted. That's included in Hetta for that reason. But it could possibly also be an example of a non-pill refuel. Okay, so what other things do we talk about? Right. Also, in terms of, I'll get to that in a second. Thank you. But also, apart from this point, that also that the pills you're taking are vitamins. They look like vitamins, but really they are there for straight nutritional needs. Let's say, for example, somebody's on a diet, so he's not eating what he needs to be eating for nutritional purposes, and he has pills to supplement those nutritional needs. So then that really is taken for a straight food purpose, and that apart from this assumes it's mutter for that reason, that it's not even in the category of vitamins. And it's also an example of this fact that the vitamins, shyly, even if you assume vitamins make your din are a problem because of the mugging of rum, but anything that's already had to remove a little bit from what the mugging of rum was talking about, you often find people being makel about this. Yes?
It underscores the other way around that If you take it out for a nutritional need, but because for a medical need, then it's medicine, you can take it on Shabbos when you need to take medicine.
Say the last part again, I'm sorry?
If you're taking it for a medical need, then you can take it when you can take medicine, but if it's always a food, then you can never take it on Shabbos.
If it's always a food,
then
you can never take it on Shabbos? Why is that?
never mind.
Okay, so yes, I think it makes sense that Iker did that if you're taking it as straight nutritional supplements, so then it should be mutter for that reason. Okay, so some of the other examples, since we're running out of time, some of the other examples are more extensions of this type of idea or things that you could figure out, you know, that if somebody is taking a pill because they're afraid of a cold coming back, so then again, the question is also drawing on some of the things we've seen, but also because the cold potentially, to figure out how serious a machla it could potentially be. It's another sniff lahakel, or sniffles lahakel. There is also a discussion that Moshe Feinstein has about what if a person is in the category of l'techola eshure, engo sakana, let's say. So he's already allowed to take refuah for what he has, but he also has a mechush for has a mechush, different mechush at the same time. So once he's already involved in refuah that he's allowed to do, is he also allowed to engage in refuah for this mechush that he otherwise would not be allowed to do? So his netia is, he thinks that misvara, that should be a problem, but misvara, he thinks it's a problem. However, he thinks if it's just a question of quantity, then that for sure should be mutter. So, for example, if a person is going to take more of the same pill, but he would take one pill, his chola situation, and because of his mechesh, he would take two pills, so then that he assumes is mutter, that we're not going to assume there's a quantitative cap on the refuah in a ribui shurim kind of sense. This is not a malacha, it's just whether we're going to make the gzeir or anything more, so you would assume that that would be mutter as well. In terms of exercise, so the Shulchan Aruch specifically says that light exercise is okay, heavy exercise not, and talks about a massage, that there are different levels of massage. A person wants to take a light massage, even for therapeutic purposes, so that should be okay. The heavier massage, which probably involves oils and the like, but specifically talks about koach, using a very strong pressure, so then that could enter into the category of refuah. Michael?
Wouldn't there be an issue with
tirchan? So that's part of why we distinguish between light and heavy. In terms of running, You know, so already the Gemara said a person is running, so that's beyond what we would presumably allow, especially because the Gemara calls that to the chal. The Gemara actually, it's interesting, it's a side topic, but clearly there's no malacha involved in running, but it sounds like it's an up to the chal consideration. So the Gemara Maseches Brachos, which says that that's the case, that it's wrong to use a psia gasa on Shabbos, a big step, which is what you would do if you're running a wide pace. So the Gemara there says it in the context of allowing it for a bar mitzvah, that the run to a shir on Shabbos is mutter. So if I remember correctly, the expression of the Gemara is that someone commented when he first saw the Rabbanan doing this, because they were running to a shir, he was surprised because he didn't think it was mutter. And he thought, Kamachal le Rabbanan Shabbos, it looks like the rabbis are being machal Shabbos. So it's an interesting language, because you would think that chil Shabbos is really appropriate language for somebody who's doing a malacha. That somebody is doing something that's not appropriate for Shabbos, that's wrong, but it's probably not Chil Shabbos. So it's an interesting question how meduyuk that language is, but I think it's safe to say there's no malacha involved in running, but it's prohibited of psia gasa, it's a type of lutat dechal, so that if you're talking about a workout that's going to make you sweat, a workout that's intense, so you could assume that's already in the category of what's not appropriate on Shabbos, but say some type of very light type of activity, which maybe is done for exercise and all purposes, or a very light massage, that the Shulchan Aruch seems to allow. Hi.
Does anybody go into details about massages? Which ones are okay? What's okay?
I'm sure somebody does. If Harfin just has a few chuvas about this yet, if you want to take a look. You know, in one of the volumes, he has a list of the topics he talks about in that volume, and his Amos B'Shabbos makes it onto the cover. So it must be that he has more than one tshuva about it. So you can take a look. He has probably a couple of discussions about it and doesn't address the kind of details you're looking for. But tshuva is Nishma Shabbos.
Generally, it's not professional versus non-professional. What's the distinction?
It might be a little bit in the sense that if it's something only a professional can administer, that would probably be a clue that it is begedder for. If it's the kind of massage that you need a professional for, that might be a clue.
But it's only anybody can do that, obviously not everything like that.
No, not necessarily, but I think that if it's the case that a professional is the only one who could do it, then that probably is an indication that it is a heavy massage that's in the category of inappropriate job. Jonathan?
Just to clarify, what Rav Harfman said about monitoring the tongues. Mm-hmm. So that's not...
That was in the quarter of Ribbian on that point.
Oh, so there you're preventing something that's coming, but that's not problematic for, and it's not against what we said about not taking vitamins, because there you're actually trying to get better at something.
Right, so the vitamins, that's where we kind of segued into it, that the opening point, one would think, is that vitamins should be mutter for that reason, that it's something you do when you're healthy, you're not bald, it's preventative. So if it wasn't for the Magen Avraham, I think everyone would be inclined to allow vitamins. So the problem is the Magen Avraham has a statement which is interpreted as addressing vitamins, so it kind of puts us into that bind in terms of vis-a-vis vitamins. But then there were also those who interpreted him as talking about something else, where maybe there is a perceptible difference that you feel right then from taking the vitamins, which would distinguish it from the Tums situation where you're anticipating something later, but that maybe we mentioned, maybe it's like spinach for Popeye, that right away you all of a sudden feel super strong because you took it, or maybe it's a vitamin that's used for somebody who is feeling a noted weakness right now. It's not a choli or a mefesh, but he's feeling weaker, and he takes the vitamin and feels better. So maybe that's what the Magen Avraham meant. That's how.
So like energy drinks might go into that.
So energy drink would be probably because even that what we call energy drinks are still drinks that people drink if they are thirsty. So it's not straight out medicine.
It's more marketing.
Sorry.
It's more marketing.
Right, it's more marketing, and it is the kind of drink that's flavored. It's the kind of drink that a person who's stomp thirsty also drinks.
So there's like a crazy, therapeutic, I'd say, amount of caffeine or other chemicals in there.
Yeah, so energy.
Right. So if we're gonna start calling, a lot of my drinking habits on Shabbos, gonna be called into question if caffeine becomes considered a refuah.
No, I mean a coffee is a coffee, but if you drink 75 times a normal.
I understand. But I think this is still something that somebody gets in the normal supermarket in the fridge with the rest of the sodas and the juices.
Sometimes.
And yeah, for the most part, in that people perceive this as a drink, they may be more inclined to drink it when they're having a workout, or before or after a workout, whatever it is, but it's something that's still used as a normal, even if it was used only in the connection with a workout, then we have to figure out, is it more of like a vitamin or not? But that would still be, let's say, one step away from it being a refuah. But I think since most people also use, would have, not most, but people in general would have it as a drink, stam, so it's, let's say, two steps away from a refuah, because it's one step away from being a vitamin, which is itself a controversial issue. So I don't think it would be a tzav hachmer in terms of the energy drinks. Hi.
So just to clarify on that Tums issue, so Tums are saying ismutter or just there? Are those who say ismutter?
So Tums, what Rubia's point was that if you're doing it because you know you are likely to get heartburn, but you don't have it now, so that, he says, is mutter, and I'm not sure if anyone disagrees with that. What he doesn't like is if you already have the heartburn, so he considers heartburn to be considered together meichesh, but it's not something that's more serious than that. You could find that there were those who would argue with that. First of all, there can be really debilitating types of heartburn that you feel like you can't move, in which case, then you would probably also agree. You're just probably assessing that that's not the normal type of situation for which people are taking it, but there are more debilitating concerns which somebody might have. So that's also the case. And you may find, this is a discussion in general nowadays, that the doctors may tell you that maybe it is a more serious type of thing that you might want to keep at bay. So I don't think that forestalls any future assessment of the situation, but that's a distinction that he made, that if you're taking it now, because you have heartburn now, you have a mefesh refuah situation, but if you know that you're likely to, because of what you just had for lunch, so then to take it now in anticipation would be bichlal the head there that we've seen.
Okay. Also, anti-cholesterol medicine, that kind of thing, where it's supposed to keep stuff down to prevent you from dying later.
Anything that, if you're using that word, that dying eventually, even dying decades down the road,
right?
So like I said, yeah, presumably yes, although, you know, the question may come up, can you take it after Shabbos if that's the type of situation, but probably that would be in such a category of heter. In general, so we're running out of time, so we'll have to, I'll just say two or three more points, and then we will, I guess I'll try to be magalgal some lisha into the end of the Chumash Shir also, so that when we meet later, we'll do a little Chumash, maybe a little Kavod Abrios, and a little Lisha at the end. But there is a whole very controversial heter, which some accept and some don't, about the whole idea of if you're taking something for many days, which, for example, antibiotics, this is usually the situation. Antibiotics may address more serious conditions in general, so that's maybe subject to that consideration. But there is a big machlokes achron on whether or not there is such a heter, that there were those who assume that there's a heter of taking something that's been taken for many days to continue taking on Shabbos, and others question that. Others weren't so excited about that, so again, if it's betzir with other things, and especially if it's for something that is of a more serious nature, which is often the case, so then there's even more grounds to rely on those who are making it. Hi.
That's assuming that its potency would be negated if it wasn't taken on that day.
Yeah. And then it's different as far as why those are making. Some say that there's no bubble factor for something that's not going to bring you an immediate refuah, but you're doing it over the course of a week or two, so then you don't have the bubble factor. You see that it doesn't have an immediate effect on you, so it's not the same type of refuah. Again, it's a controversial heter. There are those who accept it, there are those who don't. There is also a controversial heter about mixing something into food, let's say. So here there are three views. Moshe Feinstein was not thrilled about this. This is a Gemara that sounds like it's a question of how to interpret the Gemara. But there were others who were making all this. Mishpatei Tzedek, in many quotes, they encourage you to look at it on HebrewBooks.org, because it's interesting, because there are many who do accept this in theory, but they then advocate that you have to do the mixing before Shabbos, which is unlikely to be helpful, because the kind of situations we're talking about, it's unlikely you're going to know about them so far in advance. And if you were, you could probably, like the Tums, you could take it before you get it. So if the heter is only applicable if you do it before Shabbos, so then it's kind of very much constricted, because it's unlikely that you'll know in advance that that's the case. So a lot of contemporary svarim do invoke that condition, but it's not clear where it comes from. Because if you look in the Mishpatei Tzedek, and again, I encourage you to look inside, his language that is what is cited by a lot of later poskim and being the basis for this heter of mixing, so it's not clear that he has a problem with doing it Erev Shabbos. In his question, he says, is it mutter to do this and on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos? Seems to be open to both possibilities. In his answer, it's not clear that he makes such a ruling that it can't be done on Shabbos itself. So you do find that in some of the contemporary poskim as well, that they do acknowledge that if it's a Shas HaTzorech, that this heter could possibly be done even on Shabbos itself, although clearly the preference seems to be, if it's possible to do this, that this mixture should be created before Shabbos. Just a few other points. If we talked also about sleeping pills, the consensus of poskim seems to be make on that. Stimulants is machlokas that Tzitzidaze didn't like, and the Tzitzvik didn't like. Aspirin is subject to machlokas, but aspirin does seem to be, for the most part, something that many will be machmir on in the category.
Aspirin that people take daily, or like?
Right, that's also probably part of the question. So if you're taking it daily, so then you have other things to draw on, and especially also if you're taking it daily for a person who has a heart condition or a stroke susceptibility. So then, one day of missing it can really have catastrophic results. So then I think everybody would be make them on that, if that's indeed the case. Birth control pills from Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he assumes it's not an issue of refu at all. He says maybe other issues he talks about there. He gets into the other Yibamas unity topics. But in terms of refu, it says it's not an issue. And Viagra pills, so that Rabbi Bleich has an article in Tradition, which I would encourage you to read, not necessarily if the issue is negaya, but that it's in the course of talking about that, Kedarka Vakodesh, he goes through a lot of the issues that are relevant to pills in general, and he talks about different svaras that are invoked to be mako on Viagra and Shabbos, which is a good way to chazer a lot of the issues in Lefuah, just reading his discussion about it. He happens not to be so enamored of most of the svaras that are brought to Lahakel for reasons he goes through, but at the same time, he acknowledges that the consensus seems to be that for one reason or another, it does seem to be mutter, even though most of the reasons he doesn't accept as convincing reasons. The one that he likes the most at the end of his article is that if it's a makom mitzvah, so that's a svara to be mater the zayir also, so then he thinks that's the strongest of the reasons, but the course of rejecting the other reasons, it's a worthwhile reading because you'll get a good chazara of some of the other svaras that are invoked in terms of kulas and chumras on this issue. Okay, so stop here.